All right, turn if you would to James chapter 2, James chapter 2, verse 19 through 26. We'll read that. And we're going to title this lesson, The Friend of God, The Friend of God. Notice what it says in verse 19 through 26 of the book of James. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is what? Dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead what? Also. Now, how many here realize that we all can be a friend of God? How many realize we all should be a friend of God? Now, the Lord Jesus made much of friendship as evidence in his instructions to his disciples that is found in John chapter 15, verse 13 through 15. Notice what it says here, John chapter 15, verse 13 through 15. Now here we read this. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for what? His friends. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I what? Command you. Now, let's say we don't do what he commands us to. Are we his friend? No. Now, it goes on to say, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known what? Unto you. Now, friendship is a gift of God. You know, I would venture to say, most of us, if we're very fortunate, we have a couple real true friends in life. And I'm not saying we don't have, you know, I would say if we got two or three real good friends, and I mean friends that'll stick with us through thick and thin, you know what? We're fortunate. You know, one of the things I've always said to people that are thinking of getting married, it's good to marry your friend. You say, why is that? A friend loveth at what? All times. They'll stick with you through thick and thin. And you know what? If you're just marrying somebody because they look good, because they're handsome, or they got wealth, you know what? That's probably not going to make it. Marry a friend. Become friends first. You know, someone may ask me, who's your best friend? Outside of Jesus, Connie is. She's my best friend. I don't hesitate to say that. You know, I got a couple other really good friends I could count on, but she's the best friend I have. And I hope she thinks that same way about me. I don't know. She never talks about it. She doesn't tell me. So I just left hanging, I guess.
She told you
once. Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm only kidding. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know what? So many people, you know, I've known people that got thousands of friends on Facebook. Thousands of what? Friends on Facebook. And it's a funny thing, you know. And then they happen to have another guy that they know. And when it's time for them to move, they ask that guy who's not even a Facebook friend to help them move. And now if I was that guy, I would say, well, get your thousands of friends on Facebook to help you move, because you're always bragging about how many people follow you on that nonsense. Get them to help. Now, how many think those are real good friends? How many think they're friends at all? No, they're just Snoop Dogs. Yeah, they're just wanting to be nosy in your business. And you put your business out there. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me. Nobody cares what you ate for breakfast. Nobody cares that you're in the house because it's raining outside. Except for people that are nosy. Got nothing better to do with their life, so they're investigating yours. But don't think they're your friends. They're not. I know you're disappointed, but just trying to help you out. But here, Abraham is called the friend of God. Now, think about that. Now, who said that he was a friend of God? God did. Now, let's suppose, you know, I knew somebody that was really famous, okay? And maybe you know somebody who's really famous or maybe ultra wealthy. And I say, you know what? He's a friend of mine. Now, you would think, oh, that's pretty neat. You know, pastor's got some people that he knows in low places. But what if that really wealthy person or that really famous person said, yeah, I know John Rainey. He's a friend of mine. Now, that would be more impressive, wouldn't it? You know, here God is telling us about Abraham, and he's saying, Abraham is a friend of mine. Abraham didn't put this designation on himself. God said this about Abraham. You know, we need to be a friend of God. And if we are going to be a friend of God, we need to know what his word says, and we need to be obedient. Then it goes on to talk about Rahab. Now, when you think of Rahab, what's the first thing you think about? Rahab the what? The harlot. Now, where did she live? She lived in Jericho. But here she mentioned in a very positive light. You know, some of us, we just have the tendency to believe, you know, Rahab the harlot. We don't really think much about after her life, after she got saved. You know, she did marry somebody, a prince in Israel, and she became the descendant of Jesus Christ. Not a descendant of... A what? Lineage, there you go. That's the word I was looking for. But she's found in the lineage of Jesus Christ. She married a prince in Israel. She was some kind of grandmother to King David. I mean, she actually became quite famous. But we just think about her sordid lifestyle before she got saved. And so we read about her in the book of Joshua, and it says this, and she said unto the men, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now that token was what? It was that scarlet cord that she put in her window. She acted by faith. Now, was that work of putting that scarlet cord in the window? Is that what caused her to get saved? No, she was already saved, was she not? And then she put that scarlet thread in her window. So, was she saved by faith? Or was she saved by works? She was not saved by works. But by works, her faith was proven, was it not? You see, she was already a believer when she did those things. Also in the Old Testament, we find the record of the life of Abraham. Now, God called Abraham out of Ur the Chaldees. That happened to be a great city. And we read this in Genesis 15, verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, how did Abraham become righteous? Was it by his works, or was it by his belief in the Lord? It was by his belief in the Lord that he became righteous. Amen. And then you read about in Genesis chapter 22 that he offered up his son Isaac, right, on the altar of Mount Moriah. Now, he was justified then by his what? Works. His works justified the faith that he had in the Lord. Are you getting me now? You know, on August 19, 1983, I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. On that night, I was born again. I got saved. I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I was justified. I was forgiven. And I was sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. Because of that, then I should demonstrate that faith that I had in the Lord by the works that I now do. It should change one's life. You know, it's one thing to say you're a Christian, but it's another thing to live like a Christian. You know, when you read about faith, faith is an action word. Amen. First of all, you exercise that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then you're born again. But that's not the only time you're supposed to exercise it. You're supposed to exercise it according to the Word of God, are you not? And live by faith and do what God would have you do. Then now what happens? When I put my faith in Jesus Christ, was I justified before the Lord? Amen. I was cleansed. My record was wiped clean. I was in the sight of God just as if I never sinned at all. But how would anybody else know that? If my life hasn't changed and I don't manifest the faith and live like I should, nobody else is going to know that I've been born again. It's like this. I can tell you I love Connie, right? But what if I don't demonstrate it? How many are going to believe that? Raise your hand. No one's going to buy into that. But if I demonstrate it, not only is she going to believe it, and that's all that really matters, but everybody else will as well. They'll see that I care for her. You see, even though I may have it in my heart, if it's not demonstrated outwardly, nobody's going to believe it. Can anyone see Christ in you? They ought to. Now, is one saved by grace through faith alone? Yes. Well, how are others going to know that? It says in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So we're saved by grace through faith in the sight of God, right? But men cannot see that. I hope you understand that you may be the only gospel some people ever know. And if you don't demonstrate that faith you have in the Lord, you know what? You're not doing any good. James tells us, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? If we have faith, we do not demonstrate that faith by works, then that faith is dead to everybody else. Nobody will believe it. Nobody will know it. You know, I'll never forget when I first got saved. You know, I went to work the next day. I was in the fire department. And you know what? I started telling everybody, man, I got saved last night. Did anybody else ever do that when they first got saved? Started telling other people? Sure. Now, that's a natural thing, by the way. Because you got something good to say. And so anyways, I'm telling all these people. And all of a sudden, these guys are telling me, hey, I'm a Christian too. And I'm like, huh? Say what? I couldn't believe it. You were doing the same thing I was doing just last weekend. Sitting right beside me, cussing and drinking and doing everything else. And now you want to tell me you're a Christian. I was like, wow. And I'm thinking, well, if that's what Christianity is all about, I don't need that brand. They made no impression on me whatsoever. And I knew these guys for a couple years. And I'm thinking to myself, what, you know, how can this possibly be? Because you know what? I realized when I got born again, you know what? There were some things that I needed to change if I'm going to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. I want my light to shine. James goes on to write, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? In Romans chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works. You know, Abraham was justified by faith, right? When he believed and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But then his faith needed to be worked out. Amen. Now, our lives, whether you realize it or not, are read by others. Now, if we say we're Christian and we do not demonstrate that faith, we do not live a life that's pleasing to God. Just don't. Now, none of us deserve salvation or forgiveness. None of us will ever merit it on our own. It is a gift of God. But God has declared that when we got saved, that our records were wiped clean. But you know what? We are to live by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. So if God tells us to do something in the Bible, are we supposed to just neglect it? Are we supposed to ignore it? Are we supposed to argue with it? Are we supposed to, you know, just dismiss it all together and say, I ain't buying into that? No, we're supposed to put it into practice. You know, and by the way, you can't pick and choose what you're going to obey and think you're pleasing to the Lord. You know, some of us think we can ignore certain commands and not do them. That's a sin of omission. And by the way, it's just as wrong as the sin of commission is. I don't call that. God does. You know, so many Christians think they're pretty good just because they don't commit adultery, they don't do drugs, they don't drink, they don't cuss. But then all the stuff they don't do. They don't read their Bible like they should. They don't attend church like they should. They don't give like they should. They don't tell others about the Lord like they should. They, you know, they're not fulfilling their God-given role within the home. But, they think they're pretty good. That's not how it works. You're not pleasing to the Lord because you don't do things. You know what you need? You need to do what he tells you to do and not do what he says you shouldn't. Now, God calls all to friendship. Now, the scripture in James says, in verse 22 and 23, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he is called the friend of God. Now, you wonder, why did God choose such a title for Abraham? Why did he say Abraham is a friend of God? You know, were there other believers at that time? He wasn't the only guy that believed on the earth, was he? Wasn't there a guy by the name of his nephew happened to be Lot? Now, was he not a believer? Yes. And he vexed his righteous soul from day to day, did he not? Now, did God say, oh, you know what? He's saved. He's my friend. Didn't say that. So who happened to be his friend? The guy that happened to be known as the father of faith. Right? That happened to be Abraham. Now, I don't think he was just father of faith because he was the only one who believed in the Lord. I think he was a father of faith because, you know what? He lived a faithful life. So don't you think every one of us could be a friend of God? Then ask yourself, are you a friend of the Lord? You can be if you're not, but it's going to take some effort on your part. Now, how many here have a real friend? Okay, wonderful. Did you raise your hand, Connor? Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Oh! No, and that's a wonderful thing, is it not? Now, when you enter into a friendship, how many think it takes a little bit of effort? Yeah, you can't just be a mere acquaintance. You can't just ignore your friends, can you? No, it takes effort. It takes time. You got to demonstrate that love you have for them. And I guess what? If we're going to be a friend of God, we need to do the same thing. It's going to take effort. It's going to take time. And we need to demonstrate our love for Him. You say, how do we love God? Give Him a big hug. If you love me, Jesus said, what? Keep my commandments. So, if we don't keep His commandments and we say we love Him, is there something wrong with what we're professing? Yes. Now, I would love to be known as a friend of God. You know, God calls us all to fellowship. Now, we are to fellowship with the Lord. You know, and other people are going to be blessed in a greater way because our life is centered in Jesus Christ and our fellowship with Him. All because we're living like we ought to. You know, it's a wonderful thing when your light shines. When you're the salt you ought to be. And then there's other people that can stand up and testify how important you were in their life. You know, we had a funeral yesterday. Now, how many think Brother Negley had an influence on people's lives? I mean, it's amazing how many had. You know, and talking this morning, I was talking with Joe, and it was like one of the things that impressed him about Brother Negley is when we were out soul winning, he would be praying for us all the time. I mean, he was known as a man of prayer. And you know what? He was also known as a person who loved the Word of God. He tried to live a life that was pleasing to Him. Now, if you knew everything about his previous life before he got saved, you wouldn't think he was a nice guy at all. But how many of us could say the same thing about us? Yeah, I wasn't very likable or lovable. And I really didn't care. But you know what? When Christ came in, my life was changed. I just didn't want that change to happen on the inside. You know, I knew if I was going to live a life that pleases the Lord, it had to show up on the outside. And it didn't take me 2, 3, 7, 8, 10 years to figure that out. You know, it's amazing to me. Sometimes it takes so many people, so many years to start living for the Lord. I don't get it. You know, when I got born again, I never heard a preaching against alcohol. Didn't hear it. I was saved. I didn't even go to church yet. Matter of fact, the church I was growing up in, it was okay. They served it at communion. They would have parties in the summer, and it was known for a big beer bash. And everybody was drinking, even when the little kids were. This was a church function. But I got saved, and all of a sudden I realized, man, there's something wrong with this. Now, believe me, I didn't give it up all together right away. I just knew it was wrong to get drunk. But after about a month into this thing, I was like, okay, I'm going to see what the Bible says about this. And by the way, I didn't have to read every verse and about it. It only took me a couple verses, and I realized this is not what God would have his people do. You know, I smoked. Now, I didn't think that was very pleasing to the Lord. You know, I had somebody living inside me right now, didn't I, when I got saved. And he's letting me know, hey, it's something you should be doing. And so I quit smoking. And you know, then I realized, you know what, the language I was using, it was unbecoming of a Christian. You know, you can sit there and talk, and then you use a curse word or use profanity. People don't identify that with Christianity, and neither does God. You say, well, I just can't help it. Well, it's something you need to work on. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God. He can control that tongue. But I understood, you know what? These are basic things. Now, I wasn't brought up in a church that taught these things. But I now had the Spirit of God living within me, and I was convicted about all kinds of things. And then I'd go to church, and then I'd get beat up over there. I'd get pummeled because there were so many other things that I had to get right. And you know, I thought to myself when early on, I thought, man, am I ever going to stop going to the altar and having to confess my sins? Probably not. I still do today. I just can't wait for the day when I'm sinless. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't really care for you right now. Well, wait another 10 years. I'll change. You may like me a little bit better then. But, you know, yeah, maybe not. But here's the thing. I still sleep good at night. Knowing, you know what, I don't need your approval. You don't need mine. What we need is God's approval. That's who we ought to be concerned about. You see, so many of us are concerned about reputation, what others think of us. If we would be more concerned with what God thinks of us, that reputation would take care of itself. You wouldn't have to put on a front. You could actually be real. Pretty impressive, isn't it? God calls us to fellowship. Now, people, notice what it says in this list here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Now, these sins should not be named amongst the saints. But it reads this way, know ye not that the unrighteous, now who's that talking about? People without faith, people that are not believers, correct? Shall not inherit the kingdom of God, right? Be not what? Deceived. Now, how many here believe we can be deceived? If we couldn't, why is it in there? How many believe we can deceive ourselves? All right. How many people know people that are deceived, right? Now, I hope when you raised your hand, you realized you were the one you were talking about. Because most of us think we're better than we truly are. Did you hear that pin drop on the carpet? But notice it goes on. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. You say, who's that? That's those who commit sexual activity outside the confines of marriage. nor idolaters. You say, well, who's that? That's those who would bow down before statues. That's those who put something ahead of God in their life. That's those who are covetous. Covetousness is as what? Idolatry. They worship material things. Nor adulterers. That's those who step outside their marriage relationship and have a relationship with somebody else. Nor effeminate. What is that talking about? I don't write it. Effeminate. You know, it's an amazing thing how emasculated the American male has become. What happened to the John Waynes? Where are they today? Terrible, isn't it? We can't even get men to be the head of their homes. We have become a matriarchal society in one generation. I remember when I was growing up, every dad I knew, their word was like law. But I knew one family where mama was in charge. And I thought, oh, this is horrible. I said, how does this happen? What is wrong with that guy? And by the way, my view hasn't changed on that. I still wonder why guys aren't in charge. I still wonder why their word ain't law. I still wonder why they're not the head of the home. And I still don't look upon them as real men. You say, well, you're just a male chauvinist pig. Not really. I might be a pig, but I'm not a male chauvinist. I just believe everybody has a role in their home to fulfill according to God's word, and you ought to fulfill it. It's not hard. Just do what you're supposed to. Hey, be what you created to be. Let's go on. Nor effeminate. That's... nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Okay, it's not going to go into that. But you know what I'm talking about. Nor thieves, nor covetous. Well, do you see that? Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, how many would say, man, you know what? If all my neighbors were in this description right here, that's the neighborhood I'd want to live in. No. You probably wouldn't want your loved ones living in such a place as that. But you know what? Notice the next phrase. It says, and such were what? Some of you. And such what? Were some of you. Now, how many think that there must have been a change in their life? Correct? Now, you know, I can go through this list and I can look at it and say, yeah, I was in on a lot of that. Amen? But I got born again. And such was some of those things that were prominent in my life, and they were done away with because I decided I'm going to live by faith. Well, some of those things I were not, and I hope I'd never be. But there were some of those things I was. But then I was washed. I got sanctified. I was justified in the name of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What do you think that treasure is? Jesus. You better believe it. He dwells what? In us. We're just houses of clay, but he dwells within us. The only good thing really about us is him in us. He's come to live within us. God made himself known in the person of his Son. Now, God calls all to workmanship. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, it says this: "For by grace are you saved through faith." How many say, glory to God, amen, hallelujah. "And that not of yourselves," meaning we have nothing to do with it. Christ paid it all. It is the gift of God. All it needs, we need to do is receive it. "Not of works, lest any man should" what? Now, can you imagine, and you see this all the time in religions, you see people that think, you know what, they're good enough to go to heaven, and they boast about what they've done. I've heard that. How good they are. "Well, I'm good. I've done this, I've done that. I deserve a place up in glory." Well, if they ever got up there, you know what they would be doing? They'd be tooting their own horn. But whose horn are we supposed to be tooting? Jesus. All glory belongs to him. So, we're saved by grace through faith. But notice it goes on to say, "For we are his" what? "Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto" what? "Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him." Now, what did he foreordain? Well, didn't he give us the word of God? Now, how many think that it would be a good thing if we walked in accordance to what he's written? Makes sense to me, doesn't it? So those good works, they would be found in the word of God, wouldn't they? Now, it'd be good for us not to do some things, but it's also good that we do some things. So ask yourself this morning, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And am I not doing things I shouldn't be doing? Well, if you want to be a friend of God, you better line yourself up. Amen? All right, we'll stop right there.